This program is made possible thanks to the generosity of our listeners. Show your support at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
This week on Meet and Three, we bring you a sensational episode where each story hones in on one of the four senses that accompanies taste.
Many of the smells that we encounter in everyday life actually exist out there in the cosmos.
Food carries all these culturally specific meanings. The fact that, you know, when you see an apple, it's not just an apple, right?
I was mostly interested in thinking about what knobs ASMR was pulling on, maybe, or how we could explain it from a psychological or emotional or evolutionary standpoint.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
To Life's a Banquet, a show about who fucking knows anymore what this show is even about. It's about monsters. It's about movie stars, and everybody's got to eat. With your hosts, me, Zara Tangora.
And me, Nicole Bailey.
Oh, hey! What's up, girl?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I think we should change our new opening to be that. Everybody's got to eat.
Right? And everybody's gotta eat with your crazy kooky host. I have a great voice for radio, which I think means like it's the opposite of you have a good face for radio, which would be you have a bad voice and a pretty face.
Okay. Wow.
That's how I like to think of myself. Bad voice, great ass. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
That's what it says on my Napster profile. Nicole. What's happening in Indy?
Oh, God. Nothing.
Okay, that sounds very exciting. That's why we have special guest today, Scott Baio.
Scott Baio from Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, Scott Baio from Dancing with Wolves. Many of you didn't know that Scott Baio was actually the understudy in Dancing with Wolves.
He was he did the TV movie Dancing with Wolves, which is often mistaken for Dances with Wolves, which stars friend of the pod, Kevin Costner.
Dancing with Wolves. Dancing for Wolves? What is the movie called? Dancing with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves. Okay. And then the show is called Danza with Wolves. It stars Tony Danza and
but
Scott
it should
Baio.
Be, if it's going to be a real ripoff of the show, it should be Danza with the Wolves, which I think is scarier.
I'm going to go one more. Danzas with Wolves, which would be Danza's whole family with a bunch of wolves.
Right. And then the spinoff would be Danzig with Wolves, which already probably exists.
Or, may I, Dancing with Wolves. So it's about Danzing's wool sweater collection.
Danzig with woolens.
Dancing with wolves. That's a really great costume. You could dress up like Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, we just did an amazing stream of consciousness bounce off. Call us, Second
Hollywood.
City.
I've died. We peaked. I think we should get out of here.
Second City's the one that closed, right? That's the one I wanted to mention.
I don't know if it closed. That's in Chicago, right?
Oh, no. I mean, which is the one that closed in New York?
The Upright Citizens Brigade?
Yeah, call us UBC. Give us a call.
Yeah, give us a ring-a-ding-ding-dong if you want to hear more of this hot dancing wool riffing. Dancing with wolves. Wow, that's very up there in punnery. I mean, yep. People like try to say puns are not, you know, real comedy. I challenge you to listen to us talk about Dancing with Wolves or watch the show and not laugh. Okay? That's
a
dare.
Watch the show about Dancing with Wolves. It's funny. You can't stop laughing.
Wow, that really brightened my mood. I wasn't having the greatest day. I'm breaking out on my forehead, which I'm very upset about. And if you can notice from my sip sound, sorry for all of you with mesothelioma or mesophilioma or whatever the thing is where you don't like to hear people drink and eat, but you can tell that I'm not drinking a Diet Coke, can't you?
No, I can't tell that.
Okay. Well, listen, I can tell that it's water. Because I think that aspartame, I recently became addicted to aspartame. I think in maybe like the middle of the summer when I first had a Fresca at Mary's
tell
house.
Tell us the first time that you ever tasted aspartame.
No, it wasn't the first time I ever tasted it, of course. But I've really never been like a diet soda fan. And so, like, I really got into it with the Fresca, though. It's so delicious. It was very refreshing in the hot summer. And anyway, long story short, I've been breaking out, and I think it may be because of the aspartame.
I doubt it.
Well, I read a lot about it online. It said it can cause breakouts. I don't know what else it could be. But
are you putting
I'm
your
really
mask
fucking
on your
pissed
forehead?
About it. Oh, yeah, that is. I am wrapping my forehead in cellophane before I go out. Is that bad, you think?
Well, no, actually, that would not cause a breakout either.
Huh. I've been putting a mayonnaise hat on. I've been putting mayonnaise under my hat.
That's actually good for your hair.
Well, then that couldn't be it. I wonder if it's the butter. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm blaming aspartame. But then explain to me, Bill Gates, his skin looks clear as a newborn baby.
Explain to me, Donald Trump.
I would love to. Okay. So long, long ago, in a village underground the earth.
Well, he doesn't even drink alcohol. He only drinks Diet Coke.
Yeah, he's a freak. Yep. I don't
explain
know.
Explain to me, a person with perfectly pure, beautiful skin who drinks Diet Coke constantly. In fact,
that's
I had
true.
One today, right before the show, a Diet Cherry Coke.
Ah! I was actually going to mention in this rant about my own skin is that your skin is absolutely flawless. Nicole is known for her crystal clear Amoco Ultimate skin.
Yeah. Crystal blue persuasion is not about my skin.
Dancing with wolves. Oh, I can't. Anyway, what's new with you?
You know, not a lot. I hope that the neighbor dogs don't start barking, but that's life in the suburbs. If they do, get used to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I applied for one job here in Indiana, and I was shocked when they didn't immediately call me back.
Oh, God. What was it?
It was, like, for a I don't even know how to explain it. I guess it's, like, a sort of, like, an Alamo draft house type situation, but smaller scale.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I thought you were going to say the theater, like you applied to be a lead actor in a local play.
No, but I'm seriously, like, I'm just, like, looking, because I'm like, oh, my God, I have, the world is my oyster. I can be anything I want. And I looked up, like, theater jobs in Indianapolis, and they were like, do you want to be the drama teacher for Franklin Township High School?
Yes. I was like, yes, you do.
I was like, what are the qualifications for this? And there aren't a lot. So I think that...
Okay. First of all, you should definitely do that. That is a dream job. Secondly, I'm going to urge you to please, and all our listeners, please, please, please watch the movie Hamlet 2 with Steve Coogan.
Which I've never seen. I'll watch that before I apply.
Oh my God. It'll tell you all you need to know, really. It's about, he plays a high school drama teacher. And it's pretty much, like, honestly, I think it is the funniest movie I've ever seen. I can say that with 100%.
But then I just watch it. You know how you just, like, don't want to watch certain movies? Like, for example, you've never seen The Station Agent, even though I keep telling you to watch it.
That's true. I have a feeling like it's about an old-timey train.
It's not.
And I'm never in the mood to really watch an old-timey train movie, to be honest. But it's not about that?
No. It's about people. And also, your neighbor and my one true love is in it. What's his name? He's married to Rose Byrne.
Glenn Danzig?
No.
Oh, Bobby Cannavale?
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's really hot in it.
He's
like
gorgeous.
He is everywhere, every day of his life.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You know, he has like a 17-year-old son.
Yes, actually, I do know that because I constantly see them outside of Lucali or inside of Lucali, or I used to back in the day when you could go inside places. Sorry, I don't mean to blow up your spot, Bobby Cannavale. I know you're probably listening to this.
I think it's it's not Cannavale, eh?
It's Bobby Cannavale because he loves carnivals so much. That's the behind the music on him.
Listen,
Bobby Cannavale.
If Rose, first of all, that Australian skinny bitch, if she ever dies, I'm going to move in there. So I know how to pronounce his last name. It's Cannavale. I have no idea how to say it, but there's no R.
Cannavale?
Cannavale. Nicole. Cannavale. Sounds good.
Excuse, I didn't know you spoke fluent French or Italian.
I think that's Italian. He has the bushiest eyebrows I've ever seen.
Imagine what his bush looks like. Okay, I'm just saying.
I have. I can't.
You just imagine his bush, like not even his peen. Just the, anyway, we're going too far.
Oh wait, but really quick before we move on, speaking of body hair, you know one exciting thing I did this week is I dyed my own eyebrows.
Oh wow, what color?
Dark brown.
Oh wow, do they look great? Do they look real?
Yeah, they still look like eyebrows.
Okay, I wish that we were doing like a video of this because I'd love to see your eyebrows.
You can't really tell. I mean, that's the whole point. My eyebrows are like, some of them are turning white and some of them are like blonde and some of them are dark brown and it's rude. So I just made all of them dark brown. But I actually made them kind of black. So I basically, you can't find eyebrow tint in the suburban CVSs or at least the ones I've checked out. And so I did a little internet search, a Google search, you know, because that's the only one that there is.
Heard of it.
And they were like, just use Root Touch-Up, dude. And I was like, oh, my God, this is genius. So I bought some Root Touch-Up for, like, dark brown is the color. But I put it on, and it was, like, black. It was turning black on my eyebrows. And I was like, this is really interesting, but I'm just going to roll with it. Because maybe what looks like dark black to me when it gets wiped off is just going to be a nice brown. But it was just black. Like, I don't, if I had actually tried to touch up my roots with that, I would have been very upset.
Yeah, totally. Wow. Move over, Keith Hernandez.
But, yeah, it looks great. Now they're all one color. And my life is completely the same.
I'm picturing that you look like Eugene Levy. Is that true?
No, I didn't like put on eyebrow hair extensions. I just took the moderate eyebrows that I currently have and changed the color.
Yeah, I fucked up my eyebrows from being a teenager in the 90s. And just picked all of the hairs out so many times, time and time again, until they were so skinny. And now they're, you know, I'm paying the price for it. They're patchy. They're weird. And then when I, you know, do pencil them in, I feel like you can tell, even though I don't know if you can. Can you tell? You've been around me quite a bit.
No, I can't.
More than most people. Really?
No, it's working. I never noticed. But okay, when I, the first time I decided to pencil in my eyebrows, I walked into work and the person behind the bar was like, eyebrows! And I was like,
how rude.
Okay. It wasn't even that noticeable. These people just stare at my face all the time. I don't know why. It's rude.
How could they not? I want to say one thing before we move on to our topic today, which is that I watch a lot of movies anyway, but during quarantine, you know, I don't really have like a thriving social life, I guess you could say.
I live in Indiana alone with an entire family of nonstop screaming people.
Oh, God. Well, I definitely, like, my social life has 100% pivoted to being more of a daytime thing. So a lot of nights I come home, my ritual is around 9 o'clock. I throw on a movie, maybe two. And I've been getting really into erotic thrillers, as I believe I've mentioned. I watched The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Mm-hmm. And then I rewatched a movie that I've probably seen 8 million times when I was, like, 13, called Fear, starring one Mr. Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon. Have you seen it?
Of course I've seen it. The main character's name is Nicole.
Oh, that's true. Who is her dad? Because he's like a hot Hollywood actor that was never really famous, but I had a real big crush on that dad. I always
Is it Tom Skerritt?
Well. No, it's not Tom Skerritt, but you want it to be Tom Skerritt, but it isn't.
I don't know.
This is easy. I could just look this up. Anyway, the point is that I hadn't seen it in such a long time, and I didn't remember that, like, it just When's the last time you saw it?
It's been a while, but I don't think it's a good movie anymore.
It's not a good movie. It does not hold up. Let's put it that way. And then for like 2020 standards. And also, it just randomly ends. Like the climax happens with like all of the dudes, like the bad guys breaking into the house. And then it just like just ends. It's just over. They're like, okay, it's over now.
I will say it's very disappointing. It's one of those classic movies that is marketed to teenagers, so you might have seen it with your parents, and then it has that embarrassing to see with your parents roller coaster scene where he finger bangs her. He finger blasts her on the roller coaster.
He sure does. Okay. This man's name, this hot older man's name, is William Peterson. He does look like other male Petersons in that he could be a serial killer or a wife murderer, I should say. He has that look to him now. Sorry, sir, if you have not killed your wife, you look like you could have.
He could have committed patricide.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wait, no, that's when you kill your dad. What happens?
Your father.
What's it called when you kill your whole family?
Oh, that's familicide.
Familicide. Doesn't have as much of a good ring to it.
It sounds kind of like a bacteria or an antibiotic. Anyway, he's been in a bunch of CSIs. He's been in Fear. He's been in, that's like basically the only thing.
I thought you were going to say the one where Drew Barrymore is, and I think Tom Skerritt actually is in that, Poison Ivy.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I mean, I have seen it long ago, but that definitely needs to get added to my list of erotic thrillers.
And okay. I don't know if you could really call this an erotic thriller, but you definitely, there is some eroticism and some thrillers, which is, it's the 30-year anniversary of Ghost, so it's on TV here in America where I have the TV. And so
Did you say?
Ghost, the movie Ghost.
Yes, with Patrick Swayze, yes.
And Demi. Also, Demi
Never
Moore,
heard of her.
I think I texted you this, but Demi Moore cries a single tear in almost every scene of that film, so I think that she should have gotten more recognition.
Yes, that is very hard to do, just the one tear. I think it's called a dropper full of salty water, that they're like, hey, this woman can't actually cry on command.
No, I believe that she could. She cries. You have to watch this. She's literally crying a single tear in every scene, when she's at the bank, when she's at the house.
I love Ghost. You're right. She does do that. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm sorry. This is a total sidebar. Then we really have to get started. But I am on IMDb right now, and the advertisement at the top is for a new movie. This is not a paid advertisement by us, called Let Him Go, starring Diane Lane, who has a gray streak in her hair, and an aged but still very, very hot Kevin Costner. In theaters November 6th. So if you feel like risking your life and going to the movies, there is a Kevin Costner movie you could see. It's called
Reunited,
Let Him Go.
Reunited from the other one that they're in, The Upside of Anger, right?
No, that's Diane... Sawyer. That's Joan Allen.
Oh my God, I always get them confused.
Yeah.
Joan Allen's a little bit more sophisticated, and Diane Lane's a little bit more trashy.
Well, I watched a movie with Joan Allen in it last night called The Crucible.
Why do you like that movie?
Well, I don't know. I wanted to watch something spooky for Halloween, but it's very boring.
It's a courtroom drama, basically. It's not spooky.
It isn't spooky whatsoever. I was in the play at USDAN Summer Camp, so I have a special... I know all of the actors, including DDL.
No, I know. We always talk about that every episode. But I think... You know what hot. I watched last night is what? Halloween... Or no, two nights ago, Halloween H2O.
Ooh,
the
scary.
20-year later reboot.
Was it very fun. Scary?
You know, I actually thought that... So I've seen not all the Halloweens, but a handful, including the most recent one. And I was like, oh, I like the H2O one better. But I don't know. Josh Hartnett, isn't it? Like, it's not...
Oh, yeah. No.
That Mm-mm. great. It is great that she, like, spoiler alert, chops off his head at the end.
Yeah. Yes, she does. JLC is in it?
Yes, yeah. And then the next night, the original was on, so we watched that. My dad goes to bed really early, but my stepmom was watching it, but she doesn't really like scary movies, so I just made her watch it anyway.
That's mean.
She was very scared. I know, I'm very mean.
Amazing. Should we get into our topic?
Yeah, and I'm very excited because you don't even know what I picked, and I think that it's going to make you laugh or cry.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, let's get into it. Our topic today is monsters.
Our topic is monsters, and I decided to do my topic on Monster Energy Drink.
Oh my God, yes! This is amazing! Yes! How fun.
Which is owned by a billionaire who is also a monster, as all billionaires are.
Very nice.
I was going to do Bill Gates or Martha Stewart. I love Martha, but she could be considered a monster, I think.
Yes. I was going to do Mario Batali.
But I didn't want to do Bill Gates because I didn't want all the, like, QAnon. Because, you know, the QAnon people think that Bill Gates is a monster, too. Like, it's, like, sure, the one thing that they sort of get right. But they think that, like, he's, like, giving Chrissy Teigen children to eat or whatever. And I don't buy that.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, so Monster Energy Drink is an energy drink. I found a lot of this information from mashed.com.
Oh, your favorite website.
My favorite website. I'm not really going to get into too much detail about its origin. It's an energy drink. Basically, once Red Bull got on the market, people kind of really went for it. But there are 34 flavors of Monster Energy Drink. Did you know that, Sarah?
No, I actually have never had any kind of energy drink ever.
That's weird.
And I assume there's only one flavor.
You never drank green. Like Red Bull and vodka back in the day when we were all going to parties and doing cocaine?
Never. Because I think I had like one sip of a Red Bull one time. It just tasted like very weird to me. Like,
it's disgusting. Spree. Yeah, Spree's a nice way of describing the flavor.
I mean, if you have a lot of cocaine, you don't really need a Red Bull too, honestly.
Sure.
It's a little bit overkill.
I mean, that's what I would say to my younger self now, but I... okay, so there's 34 flavors, two more than Baskin-Robbins.
That's crazy.
Oh, wait, no, Baskin-Robbins is 30 wonderful flavors. 30 wonderful flavors.
30 wonderful. So they are beating them by, one?
No, they're beating them by three.
34. Sorry.
This has been some math for you guys, our specialty. And I'm going to list every flavor. In the U.S., there's only 9. So I'm going to list them off for you, okay? Are you ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We have regular. Rehab.
What? Rehab?
Yeah. Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
Juice.
Mm-hmm.
Punch.
Yeah.
Java, which is coffee flavored. Muscle. Hydro and Max with two X's.
Wow.
Yeah.
So weird.
Sounds like the characters of a comic book movie. I would be Rehab, the character.
Yeah, I would be Max with two X's.
Also, this makes me think of, do you remember Sparks, that energy drink alcohol combo? I used to drink Diet Sparks and drive around Brooklyn because nobody knew that it was alcoholic because it looked like a can of energy drink.
Look at you little
and
rebel without a cause.
I'm a white woman and I knew that it would be fine. It's just true. Oh, the dogs are barking. Can you guys hear them?
Are you talking about your feet because you just took a long walk or your actual animals that you have?
Not my dogs, the neighbor's dogs.
Oh, right. Just throw like a treat that's laced with poison over the fence and that will take right care of that.
Funnily enough, that is how my own dog died. My first dog, Michelle.
I know. Oh, Michelle, RIP. That's the best dog name ever. I had a dog. I think we mentioned this on the podcast or maybe just talking to each other. But I also had a dog that was poisoned by the neighbors.
That's what happens when you won't shut your dog up. Okay. Number two. This is also from an article like 10 things you may not know about Monster. And I thought that some of the things they chose were hilarious, such as number two. Monster is commonly mixed with alcohol. Exclamation point. It used to be labeled as a dietary supplement, but then the FDA was like, I don't think so, guys. We barely regulate dietary supplements, but we're going to say no to this.
Totally.
Some of the flavors have 50 grams of sugar per can.
Is that a lot? What's like a Coke have grams of sugar wise?
I don't know, but it's less than that.
I guess if you think about it again, to bring this back to cocaine, like 1 gram of cocaine is just like a little bag. So I guess it'd be 50 of those bags in one cup in one can.
Yeah.
Totally. Wow. That's a lot.
It seems like a lot. Yeah. They do have diet flavors, though. For I'm not here to tell you that Monster's bad, but all the information that I have about it is bad. So,
okay, a Coke can of Coke has 39 grams of sugar.
See, way more.
Wild, wild.
But also, a can of Coke is smaller than a can of Monster. Don't forget.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
As we mentioned on the podcast before, the Monster energy drink has been associated with Satan.
Love it.
In a bad way. People think that the Monster logo looks like the Hebrew letter or the Hebrew number 6 three times. So 666. The phrasing, their tagline is unleash the beasts. The beast is, you know, Satan or whatever. And there's an upside down cross in the O of the Monster. So, you know.
Yeah. They're asking for it. They're asking for that devil.
Draw your own conclusions. I wish it was Satan, honestly.
Yeah,
The Beastie Boys sued Monster because they used their music without their permission. And
what the hell?
Those poor, poor, moneyless Beastie Boys won $1.7 million in the lawsuit.
Wow. I guess that's how Mike... Never mind, I was going to say something about Mike Day, but I'm just going to leave it right there.
Part of the court case involved arguing the meaning of the word dope.
Wait, what? The meaning of the word dope?
Yeah, like lawyer, because part of it was like one of the people on the Beast Boys were like, this video is dope. And Monster's like, that means we can use it in all of our advertising. And they're like, no, we just meant that we liked it. Oh. And that's amore.
What?
It also cost $2.4 million for those lawyers to talk about what the word dope means, which I think is hilarious.
Wow. What world?
The origin story, I'm just going to glaze over this, but basically Hansen's Natural, that natural soda we all see in Whole Foods, was started in 1930 as a family business run by Hubert Hansen and his sons, and it was just fruit juice. But in 1970, they decided to join the soda market, and they were doing okay, but they weren't doing that great. And then Rodney Sacks swooped in with his South African billions. And
who's Rodney Sacks, the man who owns Monster Energy?
Yeah.
Isn't that a perfect name for, it's like almost a cartoon name for a billionaire. Hello, I'm Rodney Sacks of money.
It's like, yeah, he brought all his Sacks of money account. And he revamped, well, he bought it in the 90s and Monster Energy didn't come out until the early 2000s. Sorry, I should know this, but I didn't write it down, guys. But he did lead the company from $50 million in revenue to $1.7 billion in revenue.
Whoa.
So I'm sure none of that was from exploiting his workers in any way.
Totally.
Just
not.
Kidding. We'll find out later all about that. So now let's move into the spooky portion, which is all the people that have died or sued for health issues. Monster.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Is one of them Danzig?
No. Okay. John Statton had a stroke in 2012 after drinking 3 24-ounce cans over a 3-month period. He was 14 years old.
He drank 3 in 4 months and he had a heart attack?
He had a stroke. Please pay attention.
I'm sorry. He drank 3 in 4 months, and he had a stroke? Could they prove it was from that?
I don't think they could. This is alleged.
Okay, got it.
A 14-year-old child also went to cardiac arrest after drinking 2 in 1 day.
Whoa.
She had a prior heart condition, though.
Hmm.
19-year-old Alex Morris died of cardiac arrhythmia after drinking 2 monsters a day for 3 years.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Joel Ryan sued because he had a stroke after having 6 cans per day for 2 years.
Joel, that's not really like how you're supposed to use it, though, right? Joel?
Don't victim blame, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. R.I.P.
Believe the victims of Monster Energy Drink. Robert Grimm got stage 4 kidney disease after drinking 4 cans a day for 10 years of Monster Energy Drink.
Oh, my God. It's like he was trying to get kidney disease.
And I think he needed to drink some more water. But I believe the victim.
Again, I'm sorry. I do not mean to victim blame on these people or laugh at their death. It's terrible.
This guy was fine. He just has stage 4 kidney disease. It's totally bad. Oh.
You're good, bro.
Okay, moving on. I guess so we don't get sued, I should point out that I don't think anybody really won these cases. Caffeine technically cannot kill you, according to caffeine, big caffeine.
To big caffeine, right, who we now work for. So these are just alleged deaths and kidney diseases.
Well, they definitely died.
Allegedly. Definitely allegedly.
Yeah.
Dead.
Okay. Here's a quote from the article, which I thought was really funny. We're moving on from all the dead people now. Let's
Goodbye.
Move on. Head off to India, but be forewarned. You aren't going to find monster there.
Well, I guess I'm canceling my trip to India.
I was like, this is such a hilarious way to write this. You're like, go on your India trip if you insist, but you're not going to have monster there, dude.
Because why everybody goes to India, not like to see a different part of the world or, you know, try different food or meet different people or experience different culture. It's for the monster energy drink.
Why only go to places that have monster energy drink? But I check before I make a plane, before I book a plane.
You know. Of course, I go, but I have to make sure that they have at least 20 to 25 flavors of Monster, because
yeah.
I could get the 9 flavors right here in the U.S., but I want to try more flavors. So totally. That's why I travel for Monster. I work for Monster. Drink Me Monster.
The reason they banned it in India is because it has both a stimulant and a relaxant.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
These guys are not... They're like, no, both of these things cannot be true. Okay?
What is robo-tripping?
That's not the same. No, robo-tripping is just a downer. There's no upper.
What is it when you're doing speedballing?
Speedballing also, I believe, is just an upper.
Nut-sucking. Do-si-joing?
There's candy flipping, but that's just ecstasy and acid. Also, not really...
Right. Mm-hmm.
There is something.
Catcalling?
Maybe speedballing is. Is that heroin and speed mixed together? Maybe that's what the speedball is.
I think it's called snuggle bugging. Dipsy doughing? Okay. We'll figure it out.
If you're listening, Speedball, sponsor us.
Yeah. This show is sponsored by Big Speedballing.
Okay. Monster, our sponsor, has filed more cases with the U.S. Trademark Court than any other company on Earth.
Wow.
Here is a list of some of the people that they have sued for trademark infringement. They filed a suit against a craft brew house in Ohio because they named a beer Beast from the East.
What?
They sued a Mexican restaurant for naming their nachos Monster Kong Nachos.
What?
Mm-hmm. They sued DeSalt Winery because it sounded too much like Monster Assault.
This is bizarre.
They sued some fish enthusiasts. Because they had an online forum to discuss exotic fish called Monster Fish Keepers. And get this, they fought Monster and won. They went to a college that had pro bono law students, and the case went on for years and years, and they finally won.
Oh my goodness.
Take that, Monster.
What a bunch of monsters.
And of course, as with all large companies run by billionaires and even non-billionaires, there have been numerous cases of sexual discrimination filed against them. There's alleged a culture of abuse. The HuffPost wrote an article trapped inside the Monster Energy frat house that detailed some of that. All of that happened in 2018, though, and guess what? It didn't matter.
Of course. Can you imagine working at Monster, allegedly, and the culture of, like, just a bunch of white dudes in, like, their 20s who are hopped up on every flavor of energy drink, like, all day long. I'm imagining a lot of tiny basketball hoops, a lot of farting, a lot of inappropriate...
Groping?
Huh? What's that? Groping? Smoking? Toking?
Yeah.
Artichoking?
It's not even just because of the energy drink. It's just because it's a large company in the United States. It doesn't even have to be the U.S., but that's the ones I hear about the most. So yeah, Rodney Sacks is 339 on Forbes' list of dumb shitheads. Evil, horrible people's list. I think is the official name of it.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Real turds. Forbes' list of the
super
top
turds. Top 500 turds of the world.
It's in the Forbes top 500 turds. And that's all I have for us.
Oh, wow. I love it. What a great... I was not expecting it. I laughed. I cried. I allegedly cried. I poisoned my neighbor's dog. That was great, Nicole. Loved it. Oh,
thanks.
All of us at HRN have been keeping busy, despite working and recording from home. This fall, we're proud to announce new shows on the network that each bring important and enlightening stories to listeners around the world. While the world is in turmoil and the future of our country is uncertain, there are certain constants that help keep us going. For us, food and storytelling are essential. While we can't come together in person, food podcasts from HRN provide a virtual table we can all gather around. Bringing exceptional stories to your ears and keeping you informed on the ever-changing political and environmental issues of our time is integral to our mission. At a time when the world around us is rapidly changing, HRN is committed to being here for our listening community, and we need you to be here for us. Join our table and help ensure the future of food radio by becoming a member of HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate to make a contribution. Check out the latest additions to our lineup while you're there. You can see all of our series at heritageradionetwork.org/new show.
So, we're back. We're back from our break. Nicole, what did you do over the break?
I went upstate.
Oh, amazing. I was in Bermuda.
That's nice. The triangle? Yeah,
Yes, I was in the Bermuda Triangle. I kind of feel like I was. I feel wacky today. Oh, I think I've been accidentally... My friend, I won't name her, gave me a bunch of powdered mushrooms a couple months ago, and she was like, I just thought they were like dried mushrooms. You know, she's a healer, so I figured they were just like, whatever, some kind of mushroom I should be taking. And then she told me the other day, she's like, oh yeah, I think that was psilocybin that I gave you. I think you've been microdosing for four months.
That's interesting. It's supposed to cure depression. It hasn't worked.
I know, and I'm so not depressed. I feel great. That's probably why.
Well, I'll have some.
Yeah, you should definitely do it. It's really worth it, I think, allegedly. Okay, now listen, you. I have a story to tell you and all of you out there, and it's about your best friend and mine, Bigfoot.
Harry.
He's Harry. Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
He is tall. He's covered in hair. You might know him as Sasquatch or Yowie or Skunk Ape or Yali.
I've never heard of Yowie.
Y-O-W-I-E. Like Howie, but with a Y.
What? Who calls him that?
Howie Mandel. He's like, Howie! And now he's like, Yowie. I don't know. But anyway, I got most of my information today from Sasquatch's favorite foods revealed by Finding Bigfoot star Bobo Fay. I got my information from Wikipedia.com and from an article from MeatEater.com.
MeatEater.com?
That's right. MeatEater.com.
MeatEater.com?
MeatCheater.com.
MeatEater.com.
MeatEater.com. And also from Smithsonian and also from National Geographic. There is a lot out there, okay, people? But I only skimmed it and I'm giving you the very broad strokes in a very matter-of-fact kind of way as I'm reading, copy and pasted, quoting from the articles I read. Okay, listen. Evidence of Bigfoot is based in a number of disputed short videos, photographs, visual sightings, and casts of large footprints. So large footprints really come into play here. And people are like, there's no way that these large footprints could be just like man-made or a bear's footprints. They're like, nope, it's got to be a Bigfoot. Look, the foot's big. We're looking for a Bigfoot. No man could have a foot this big.
And there's no way to fake that.
No, heavens no. Not in this. The technology really isn't there yet. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's like self-driving cars.
Exactly. So Bigfoot is considered a cryptid, and a cryptid is basically any kind of like monster that is like anything based in lore that we hear about, like the Loch Ness monster, things that are allegedly there, but never been seen. He stands at what they say he stands at about 6'9", which I think is very specific. You would think that they would be like, he's around 7 feet, but no,
but he's 6'9". He's not even that tall.
He's not even that tall.
Basketball players that are that tall.
Absolutely. I just read some kind of thing the other day about like the girl with the longest legs is like 6'10" or something.
How tall is the world's tallest man? She's 17.
I don't know, like 7'5". My mom has a friend named Bruce who's 6'8", so he's almost Bigfoot sized. Anyway, it's covered in hair, described as black, dark brown, or dark reddish. Bigfoot was very popular even back in the days before white people killed the Native Americans who were just ravaged and pillaged. Just hanging out, living life, and then, you know.
Okay, the world's tallest man is 8'2", so Bigfoot is, like, way shorter than him.
Exactly. Anyway, so a lot of Native American cultures had oral legends and writings about a primate-type creature roaming the continent's forest. In these tales, the animals are sometimes more human-like, and other times they're more ape-like. The mythology of the Kwa'tuli tribe that once was in western British Columbia, Dzwanka, is a big, hairy female that lives deep in the mountain's forest. Also, just sidebar, and I'll get to this in a minute, but like the first Bigfoot video was taken in Bluff Creek, California, and they had named the Bigfoot Patty.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Right. So for some reason, they're just like always assuming the Bigfoots are female. I don't know. It's just interesting to me because it doesn't look like you'd be able to really like differentiate like any kind of specific sex or that sure. It even had the same sex as human, whatever. It's just very, very interesting to me that they think the Bigfoots are all women. Anyway, that's it. No, just kidding. in California, there are century-old pictographs drawn by the Yakutis that appear to show a family of giant creatures with long, shaggy hair called Mayak Data. By the tribe, the image bears a resemblance to the commonly held vision of, you guessed it, Yahweh. Or not Yahweh, Yahweh. Sorry, all Jews, including me. Some tribes believe that Bigfoot had a good relationship with him, like, and then others thought that he was evil and scary, or she. The Hollywood, okay, so now I want to bring you to the most famous Bigfoot, aside from that movie taken at Bluff Creek, which is a little known movie called Harry and the Hendersons. Do you love it? Have you seen it recently?
Yeah, my nephew's obsessed with it. So it's the only movie that he'll watch at the camper that we have in Southern Indiana. Okay. So I've seen it very recently, many, many times.
It's wacky. I watched a bit of it today. I've seen it as a child. I didn't remember a ton of it. I've seen the television show.
I probably have mentioned this on the podcast before, but it has the classic 80s trope of like a house being completely destroyed. And that like stresses me out so much. Like,
right.
I don't like it when in the course of a film, an entire home is utterly destroyed. Like, how are they going to pay for all those repairs?
I know. Like in Mr. Mom.
Yeah, like in Mr. Mom.
Also, or in Christmas Vacation. Yeah, there's a lot of house destroying movies in the 80s.
Or I don't think Beethoven was in the 80s, but it does star Charles Grodin, which I thought was hilarious.
Love him. I love Charles Grodin.
Tons of house destroying in Beethoven. How can they afford to repair all that?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Okay, look. So according to the Hollywood Reporter, The movie came out in 1987. According to this article in the Hollywood Reporter, quote, "Is there such a thing as an uncuddly teddy bear, a bad banana split, an unappealing puppy, an unwatched World Series, a less than glowing Universal emblem summer release? What? No, but even the most welcome of sure thing delights can be disappointing, and Harry and the Hendersons is a disappointment."
Okay, first of all, this person does not live in the real world. They must be very wealthy.
Yeah, they're a monster. They're the monster. You are the monster that you see in the world. Now, they go on to say John Lithgow stars as the head of a 1950s-style typical, quote, American family. The blonde supportive wife, played by Melinda Dillon. One of each kids, played by Margaret Landgrick and Joshua Rudoy. And a Bowser, which is a dog. I had to look that up. I'm like, what the fuck is a Bowser? During the obligatory indulged dad vacation into the woods, they accidentally run over a hairy monster.
Wait, is this guy saying that the family portrayed in Harry and the Hendersons is no longer relevant in the 80s because it's so, like, the 1950s?
They're just like, this is, like, such a stereotypical, like, whatever, white family.
They're like, it's the 80s. Divorce is happening. Talk about it, Harry and the Hendersons.
Exactly. This should really be, yeah. We really wanted more topical, really hot button issues. The Harry should have been addicted to crack. Okay. During the obligatory indulged dad vacation into the woods, they accidentally run over a hairy monster. No mere ape. They think it's the legendary Bigfoot, who's been occasionally spotted in their Washington woods. Smelling some fame and quick bucks, Lithgow and the brood cart that big fella home, only to find him rear up their house, alive and kicking. He may be big and ferocious looking, but he's kind and sensitive. They quickly take a shine to him and name him Harry. Okay, so Harry was very large in real life and played by actor Kevin Peter Hall, who was the tallest person on set. He was 7'2". John Lithgow was 6'4".
He was taller than the actual Bigfoot.
I know. He was bigger than Bigfoot. Well, they had to make him really tall because John Lithgow was so tall. And a little known fact, Kevin Peter Hall, also played Predator the same year.
But no then, unfortunately, way.
Four years later, he died at age 35.
No.
On April 10th. Yeah. It really sucks. He looked like a nice man. Okay, then there was the series, which had Bruce Davison in it, who was also in The Crucible. Hello, callback.
I don't know who that is, but is the series animated?
No, the series is with Bruce Davison, your favorite actor, who's like a character actor who's like literally in every single movie.
Well, he could have been a voice if it was animated.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. He plays the dad. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit, just mention the scene in Harry and the Hendersons where John Lithgow is feeding sugar cubes to Harry, and he's like is kind of trying to convince the wife that they can make some money off of him. And then Harry like begins to just crush all the stuff in the living room, and he's like, "Ah, sit!" And he just like sits on everything, crushes it, and then the kid gives him like onion dip. He starts throwing that around, and it is stressful. You're absolutely right.
He destroys the refrigerator. It's very uncool.
Yeah, he really needs to chill. Bigfoot, listen.
He breaks their staircase. I don't even know how you repair a staircase. I think they just have to, like, demolish this house.
He destroys the whole house. That's why John Lithgow at the end is like, "Get out of here, Harry!" And he means it. He's trying to pretend like he doesn't mean it, but he hates Harry. He's a fucking asshole. He's inconsiderate.
I mean, he's a white man in the 80s. But I do appreciate that, you know, good old American values is that Harry runs his dad's store. That's his job.
Yes.
Or not Harry, sorry, the dad. Whatever the dad's name is.
He's also named Harry. Okay, we have to move on here. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what Sasquatches eat, since this is a food podcast. Uh-huh. So, basically, everybody agrees. I'm not going to really go too far into this. There's some funny things here, but I want to, like, get to my end part. And we are running out of time. So, most people say that it eats raw meat, like deers and rabbits, which seems cruel for some reason. So it just bites into raw deer, and then also really loves fruits and berries, and apparently really has a thing for bacon.
Yeah, as so a lot all of people are supposed to have, according to the movies.
Right. So everybody loves bacon, including Bigfoot. So
the sequel to Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody loves bacon. Everybody loves bacon. It's just Kevin Bacon.
I would watch that.
It comes on right after Dancing with Wolves.
Oh my God, did you know that Kevin Bacon's wife, what's her name, Keira Sedgwick,
Keira Sedgwick,
is like a billionaire, like the heir to like some fortune?
No, I would have never guessed.
I'm sad about that. Anyway, move on.
Yeah, it's too bad. They seem cool. Okay, here's a couple of restaurants that I found that are Sasquatch themed. The Sasquatch Saloon in Whitehall, New York, which is allegedly the Bigfoot capital of the world. I was looking for bad reviews. Yeah, the saloon is, it's filled with Bigfoots. It's like one of those places that cops hang out, except it's just full of Bigfoots.
Got it.
They have different things, different monster theme. A lot of these places name just the sandwiches, like wacky names. So this one has things like the Chupacabra sandwich, which is pulled pork tossed in the pulled pork tossed in the chef's chipotle maple mayo.
Oh no.
Topped with vinegar, slaw blend.
Why would they do that to chipotle mayo?
I don't understand. Then there's the Bigfoot, which is a New York strip cheesesteak with grilled mushrooms, onions, and tri-colored peppers folded with melted provolone cheese.
Okay.
And a megalodon fish and chips.
That's all they got. Also, I almost did chupacabra, but there's not a lot of funniness to be associated there.
Interesting. Oh, and the werewolf, the chef's traditional Italian meatballs. Everybody's got a meatball that we're going to find out quickly in this thing because we don't have a lot of time left. Okay, look. Now, there's also the Bigfoot restaurant in, and then this is the actual name of the town, Elephant Butt Lake, New Mexico.
Elephant Butt Lake?
Elephant Butt Lake, New Mexico.
Are you sure it's not like Butte?
Well, it's B-U-T-T-E, but that to me spells butt. Now, this place has a lot of smoothies and they are all chai. Why? I have no idea. So all their burgers are named after monsters. There's the Bigfoot burger that is described. Sasquatch likes roasted red peppers, grilled onion, lettuce, melted American cheese, and sweet yogurt dill sauce.
What are you talking about?
Bigfoot has really bad taste in hamburgers, I guess.
Also, I have to tell you something. If you're drinking a chai smoothie, that's a milkshake.
Exactly. You're drinking a chai smoothie and washing down some sweet dill yogurt roasted red pepper burger. Then there's also a jackalope burger, which made me think of Full House, which was very funny. Then there's a ranch burger, rancher's favorite, with bacon, hatch green chili, cheddar, lettuce, mayo, and steak sauce. And
that is the favorite of all ranchers.
There is a chupacabra burger here as well as a Godzilla burger and an elephant burger, because in this part of New Mexico, I guess elephants are considered monsters. They also have a lobster roll, which the first ingredient is crab and the second ingredient is pollock.
I feel like that's a failed opportunity to do the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes, totally.
Nessie, call us.
Nessie, what up? And they also serve wonton and egg drop soup. So this place sounds awesome.
All over the map.
Yeah, they really just have a vision. And then there's another place called the Bigfoot Steakhouse in Willow Creek, California. One TripAdvisor reviewer said, last resort, overpriced, and you don't get everything you pay for. I thought the fajitas were supposed to come with tortillas. And to you, reviewer, I will say, yes, fajitas are supposed to come with tortillas, and they are supposed to be sizzling. Sizzling hot!
I mean, you gotta ask your waiter, though, if it doesn't say it on the menu. He just said, I thought that they were supposed to come with. We don't actually know what the menu says. Like, there's not enough evidence here to condemn Bigfoot Steakhouse restaurant.
All right, look, allegedly there were no tortillas, but we don't know for a fact. So, basically, like, with any other Bigfoot, you want to go to these places at your own risk and bring a video camera.
Right.
Okay. So look, the last thing I want to talk about, Nicole, is have you ever read Kitchen Confidential?
No.
Okay. There's a character who owns a restaurant in the West Village in the book, or maybe he was just like the manager at the time.
Is Kitchen Confidential fictional?
No, but like the names are changed.
Okay.
And some of the places are changed for, you know, so he didn't get sued. But he had a character in the book called Bigfoot, and I did some searching around, and it's really this guy named Andy Menschke, who is actually Bigfoot. And he ended up owning the Dakota Roadhouse and a restaurant called Formerly Joe's. Anthony Bourdain, when asked about, he was being interviewed, and he was asked a question about restaurants, and he wrote, like, how were they different back in the day? And you wrote, wow, there are a lot of them. I worked under some really domineering, control freak, hyper-organized owners years ago in the West Village. I called him a hyper-organized owner years ago in the West Village. I called him Bigfoot in Kitchen Confidential. I still wake up reliantly, regardless of time zone, at 5:45 in the morning, every day, hyperventilating, because all these years later, I'm afraid of being 1 minute late. Because back in those days, if you were 1 minute late, you got sent home. If you were 1 minute late the next day, you were fired. I've been in kitchens where, you know, getting physically hit, abused, or sexually harassed by other senior cooks was not uncommon. That was a long time ago. Things have changed.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, well, I mean, a little bit. That doesn't, like, you don't really, I think mostly, at least I can say in New York, you can't really do the thing of sending people home if they're 1 minute late anymore because there's such a cook shortage.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
And that's, you can't afford to be like,
that's how you change an industry.
Exactly. Just make too many restaurants so there's not enough employees, and then you can treat people with respect.
I know we're short on time, but I want to just add quickly. So there was a, you know how Disney used to do a movie every Sunday and you would watch it with your mom? Mm-hmm. there was one that was actually originally called Bigfoot. I was like, I had to look it up because I couldn't remember what it was called. And it's called Bigfoot. And it stars Candace Cameron.
Oh.
As a young girl. And I
a young Bigfoot in her prime? Sorry.
No. she is just camping with her family and gets lost. And she's rescued by a female Bigfoot. And
oh, wow.
Then I'm pretty sure Colleen Dewhurst is also in it. God bless her. She plays the mom in Annie Hall, if anyone has ever seen that movie.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. God bless Colleen. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's funny. I was like, I always remember this movie. It must have been on a bunch of times, or maybe my mom had it on tape. But, yeah, they get lost in the forest. They hurt themselves. There's somebody hunting the Bigfoot. The Bigfoot saves the children. There's
what
a big
happens to the Bigfoot?
They shoot at it, but then it leaves, and they let it go off, and they find out that it has a partner, and it's very bad.
Aww, two big feet. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, I do not.
Oh, interesting. I do, I think. Okay, I know we are running short on time, but, okay, here we go. Top three. This is a surprise question, but I have faith that you're going to have the answers on deck.
I never have the answers.
Top three favorite monsters.
Oh, I don't really, monsters are not really my thing. Like, I would do, like, murderers or scary murder films.
They can be anything, whatever a monster is to you.
Okay, so Michael Myers, because he can't really be killed. He's kind of a monster.
That's a monster.
Then we have Nessie. God bless Nessie. She's so cute. Mm,
that's a good monster.
And then I guess just all billionaires.
Okay. Great monsters. I am going to go ahead and say a toilet paper mummy.
Oh, okay. A mummy, though? Why? They can't do anything.
Well, it's just my top three favorite monsters. I like a toilet paper mummy. Get off my back.
Okay.
Okay? Please. Get off it.
get off my back, please.
please get off my back. Eileen Bornos in the movie Monster.
Sure.
And I'm going to go ahead and say a cookie monster. Because he loves cookies.
I looked into him, but he's very boring, so I didn't do anything about him either. I was going to maybe
Yeah, he's
him.
A basic bitch.
He really, really is. He did a Reddit AMA, which is very boring.
What's a Reddit AMA?
It's Ask Me Anything. On the website.
What do people
Reddit?
Ask him?
I don't even know. Stupid shit.
I'd be like, how many people have you fucked, Cookie Monster?
Oh, here's one of the questions. Here, they weren't afraid to go bold. They were like, do you like soft cookies or hard cookies? And he said, yes.
Oh. J'excuse.
I'm dying of boredom. Oh, you know, I do like Young Frankenstein is my favorite. Peter Boyle. Yeah. My favorite. Yep. Putting on the ribs? Come on.
Peter Boyle, yeah. Young Frankenstein is an incredible movie. Frankenstein is also a great monster. Or we should say Frankenstein's monster is a great monster. Also, Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice are both monsters.
Oh, I just watched Beetlejuice. So good.
Love, love, love. Amazing. Well, what a fun, monstrous episode.
Indeed.
Indeed it was. Indeed.com, where I spent all of my days looking through jobs, that convincing myself if I could possibly bring myself to do this, then once I say I could, being never called back.
Oh, speaking of which, I've actually got, I mean, it's funny because I'm like, I feel like I'm above this job, but soon I'll be like, okay, I'll do it. They're like, we think you're a great fit. And then somebody reached out to me. They're like, we looked at your resume and we really want you to apply for this job, which is manager in training for a car wash.
Oh, I think you should take the high school theater teacher job though before that. And that's just an automated thing. That's not like, I don't think it's a real person reaching out to you.
My heart is not broken, but I'm like,
somebody likes me. Somebody likes my resume.
Looked at my resume, saw 11 years of management experience, and was like, we want to put you as the manager in training at the car wash.
Yeah, dude, I get all kinds of like really wild, wacky stuff. But, like, it's not even near me. It's, like, we think you'd be a great, like, biotech janitor in, like, Edison, New Jersey. And I'm, like, that might be true. But well, I probably also won't get the job if I apply.
There's not a lot of options in Indiana. So a lot of them are just, like, do you want to be the director of nursing for this healthcare facility? And I was, like, I think that I'm not qualified. But I will apply.
You just show up with one of those like old timey nurses outfits, like Nurse Ratchet, and you're like, I'm here.
Some of my best friends are nurses. How hard could it be?
So, someone just walks by and like stabs you with like a hypodermic needle and then barfs, and you're like, okay, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah.
All right, GTG. What a fun app. Next week is going to continue to be. If you think next week's not going to be spooky, well, you've got another thing coming, compadres, because next week is the day before Halloween, or 2 days before Halloween.
I have a question about this saying, because I believe the saying is actually, if you don't think next week's episode is spooky, then you have another think coming.
Really? Another think coming?
Yeah, because you have another thing coming. Does it make any sense?
Well, like, who has a think? Like, are you like, oh, wait, stop, hang on. I have a think coming in. I don't want to lose it. Like that, nobody says that.
Another thing coming makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, you've got another thing coming, like another thing is going to come at you. Like The Thing, like the movie The Thing, which is also scary. Goodbye. That's it. Hello.
It's Think, it's not Thing.
Well, Amanda, do you want to weigh in here before we leave? Are you even still listening?
The Guardian, the most respected publication on the internet, says, if you think the expression is, you've got another thing coming, then you have misheard the expression, you've got another think coming.
Wow, I hate that. That is blowing my mind in a way that I can't handle. The only way I could possibly unwind from this information is to go watch my favorite show and yours, Dancing with Wolves.
No, it's Danzig, not Danzing.
Right. Danzig, of course. Danzig with Wolves. That's the funniest joke I'll ever make. I might as well just never speak again. How dare you tell me to kill myself on the show?
It's haunted.
In front of our guests. In front of our goddamn guests who don't want that at all. Am I right, fellows and ladies?
They would be fine with folks. Just me.
Good luck, Nicole. Good luck, everyone. Good luck, everyone, with your new mom, Nicole. Nicole only. Okay? You better bring some toothpicks for your eyelids because this is going to be a fucking snooze fest. Hello?
Why do you have to keep your eyes open during a podcast?
That is a great question. I don't know how you could possibly keep your ears open. They seem to always be open. Anyway, I want to stop the show.
Let's end it. Let's just end it.
I'm gonna fucking end this shit. I am tired of you. Just kidding. I love you so much. Okay. Goodbye, everyone. Hasta la creepy pasta. Hang in there and take care of yourselves and each other.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Life's Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click at the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.